Our second case this morning is United States against Rainey. Counsel for the defense, you may proceed.
Chief Judge Efron, honorable judges, may it please the court. We are here today to resolve two issues. First, whether the order dismiss a personal relationship was unlawful. And second, whether the evidence in this case is legally insufficient to support a finding of guilty for a violation of Article 90. The order issued by Gunnery Sergeant Fontana to Tech Sergeant Rainey to cease his personal relationship with his girlfriend, Lance Corporal McKnight, was unlawful since it placed an unjust limitation on his private rights without having a valid military purpose. In the order, Gunnery Sergeant Fontana stated that he considered the relationship to be an unprofessional relationship as defined by AFI 36-29-9. The order stated that in order to ensure good order and discipline in the unit, Tech Sergeant Rainey was to cease the offensive portion of the relationship as defined by the AFI as share living accommodations, vacations, transportation, or off-duty interests on a frequent or recurring basis, in the absence of having any purpose or organizational benefit. This order was to be in effect the whole time that he remained at Detachment 11 at AFN.
Didn't he testify that the reason he issued it was that junior Marines were subject to restrictions that junior airmen weren't, and it was to preserve good order and discipline among the junior Marines in the unit? Isn't that a military purpose?
Your Honor, he testified at trial that not only was the reason he issued the order because there was a disparity in rank, E6 versus E3, but also because there were these Marine restrictions. But he said that as a NCO, he expected all NCOs to uphold these restrictions of curfew and drinking restrictions. Additionally, however, the actual written order does not mention anything about these restrictions, and there were no other orders for AFN.
Well, are orders supposed to cite a justification for them or simply state what they order? Is that a sine qua non of a lawful order?
Well, an order needs to...
I order you to polish your shoes.
Is this how gunnies usually give orders in writing with appellate procedures? A pretty specific order for a Marine gunnery sergeant, isn't it?
I defer to Judge Baker on that.
Yes, sir.
This guy's getting a lot of appellate process for the kind of thing a gunny does 43 times a day and expects to be followed.
Yes, Your Honor, we did have a specific order. However, we still maintain it does not have a valid military purpose, even though he states it was for good order and discipline and then testifies that it was because there were Marine restrictions.
Did he lie under oath? Or are you saying it's a post hoc rationalization, or what are you saying?
Your Honor, I'm not exactly sure what he's saying. We're not saying he's lying under oath. We're not saying it may be a post hoc rationalization. However, it also may just be, hey, there's this other reasoning out there, but if you look at this pure reasoning, it still doesn't serve as a valid military purpose.
Even good order and discipline among junior Marines isn't a valid military purpose.
Not how he was going about it. He didn't say, Tech Sergeant Rainey, you're not allowed to hang out with any E3s. He just said, Tech Sergeant Rainey, you can't hang out with your girlfriend, Lance Corporal McKnight. He didn't say, Tech Sergeant Rainey, you can't hang out with any other E3s.
So is your argument that his order wasn't a good idea, or it wasn't efficacious, or it wasn't narrow enough, or is it that the order on its face, when it says that he considers her to be an unprofessional relationship and that to ensure good order and discipline, that those aren't valid military purposes? I mean, can we start with the face of the order? Do you disagree that ensuring the good order and discipline of a unit is a valid military purpose?
Yes, Your Honor.
You just disagree, and correct me if I'm wrong, you disagree that the gunny was right, that this order was going to effectuate
that
purpose. What case stands for our ability to test the order for that? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, where do we get the authority to look behind the face of the order as to whether or not we think it was a good idea to meet the purpose that was given?
Your Honor, I'm not sure I can point exactly to a case. However, in the United States v. Dasher, as well as in Article 90, when it talks about the attributes of a lawful order, that it has to have a valid military purpose, if it's going to interfere with someone's personal rights or private or personal affairs. And this is interfering with Tech Sergeant Rainey's personal right to date an E3.
So in the Marine Corps, is it a personal right to date E3s? Anybody can date an E3 in the Marine Corps because it's a personal right?
In the Air Force, this is a Tech Sergeant in the Air Force.
This guy's trying to uphold standards for E3 Marines. He just referred to it as a personal right. The personal right is for a Tech Sergeant to date an E3.
That's a right
in the military?
As long as it's not affecting the mission or good order and discipline, which also leaves the fact that he defined it as being an unprofessional relationship under the AFI. And if you look at the AFI 362909, it's not even defined. This relationship they were having isn't unprofessional. They weren't the same chain of command. He was not her supervisor. And there were no prohibitions in AFN against dating. Additionally,
is he supposed to go to the Air Force legal office and get a reading on the AFI before he gives the order? Isn't an order presumed to be lawful?
Yes, Your Honor, an order is presumed to be lawful. He actually did talk to an SJA legal office. He testified he did. I don't know if it was the Air Force legal office, but he was in the Air Force chain of command, and as a supervisor of an airman, he should be familiar with the Air Force instructions when he's going to cite it. And it's not very hard to see that an unprofessional relationship with the clear language of the AFI says it's unprofessional when they detract from the authority of superiors, or when they aversely affect.
Well, what are you saying? You start out by arguing that it was an unlawful order because it had no valid military purpose. Now you seem to be arguing that it's an unlawful order because he parsed the AFI incorrectly. Which is it, or is it both?
It's both, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
It's both. Additionally, Gunnery Sergeant Fontana even knew that they were dating, and Lieutenant Corporal McKnight came to him requesting leave so she could go to marital counseling so she could marry Tech Sergeant Rainey. And he allowed it. He said, go ahead, take leave for your marital counseling. And after this marital counseling, her commander, an 06 in the Marines, Colonel Fraser Darling, took a side Lance Corporal McKnight and told her that she encouraged them to start dating. They need to date more. They actually should move in together, live together, and experience each other.
And all this information was presented at the court-martial, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
To the members?
To the members.
And they nonetheless convicted appellant?
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, with respect to the legality of the order, am I correct in reading the challenge that's been made to it that the defense is not challenging under the requirement in the manner of courts martial that the order must not conflict with the statutory or constitutional rights of the person receiving the order? That is, you're focusing solely on the military purpose language and not on any constitutional or statutory right. Is that correct?
Your Honor, that was the focus of our argument. I guess there could be an argument made as well that this does conflict on his constitutional rights when we look at marriage and right to associate. But we're focusing on the fact that...
Was that raised at trial or on appeal to this point?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
The main issue was that it did interfere with his personal rights, his private affairs.
Okay. And then with respect to interfering with his personal affairs, does the charge him with violating the AFI on unprofessional relationships, or is it a charge of violating a specific order?
He was charged with violating a specific order.
Okay. Is there a requirement that such an order comply with the AFI? That is, was the person issuing the order in a position where he could give an order necessary, what he viewed as necessary to the best interest of the command, even if it didn't fall within the literal words of the AFI? Or another way to put it is, did the AFI prohibit him from issuing this order?
No, Your Honor, the AFI does not prohibit him from ordering this. In fact, this particular AFI says if there is a violation of unprofessional conduct, it should be ordered, and then it should be charged as a violation of that order.
So what import does the AFI have for the litigation that's now before us?
It's significant in that it shows that this was not a concern to protect good order and discipline, that this order was not necessary to maintain good order and discipline in the unit.
But under the rule, is there a requirement of necessity here? It says all activities reasonably necessary to accomplish a military mission. It doesn't require, does it, that it be absolutely necessary or that it be the least restrictive alternative?
Your Honor, you're referring to the AFI?
I'm referring to the manual for courts martial, which says that a military duty includes all activities reasonably necessary to accomplish a military mission. So if the government can show that this order is reasonably necessary, does the government also have to show that it's absolutely necessary, that it's the only order, that it's the least restrictive order, or meet any test other than reasonable necessity?
No, Your Honor. Even replying to the reasonably necessity test and even looking at what Article 90 further says, that a lawful order may not without a valid meritorious military purpose interfere with private rights or personal affairs, this order states it's for good order and discipline, but it wasn't necessary for good order and discipline. It wasn't necessary. It's necessary to interfere with Tech Sergeant Rainey's dating, the relationship with Lance Corporal McKnight, when it had no effect on the unit. Gunnery Sergeant Fontana testified when directly asked by the military judge what impact it had on the unit. He couldn't point to a single incident. There was nothing tangible he could point to. If there are no further questions.
I'd like to ask a question on issue one.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't the fact that the commander personally reviewed this thing on appeal for the revocation and signed off on what he did, take this out of Byers? I mean, doesn't that ground it sufficiently under Article 90? Doesn't that take it out of Byers?
Your Honor, no. No,
why not?
And that is because it still was an administrative process. This still was given to him.
You can't give a valid order as part of an administrative process?
You can, but it depends on how it was done. It has to be lifted upon above a common rock. And this situation, it was just given
valid. Well, doesn't his personal action lift it above the common rock?
His personal action is not issuing an order. His personal action just is limited. Saying there's no, we're not lifting any privileges, we're not granting any privileges on driving. That doesn't go to the fact that this was an order not to drive for a year, which is what he was charged in Article 90, an order not to drive. And in this case, there was no evidence.
Oh, are you saying that the charge was incorrect, that spec was incorrect? You're saying that this doesn't save it?
Yes, Your Honor.
How doesn't it save it?
You're still not having a personal affront. As Byer said, there must be an intentional defiance of authority. And in this case, it's still, he's defying a document that says your driving privileges are revoked for a year, which wasn't entered into evidence, but essentially that's what he was defying. And just by having another document handed to him by a clerk that reports an analysis.
It's not just another document, it's a signed order. It says, I reject your appeal, signed Lieutenant Colonel X. Personally reviewed by and personally signed by Lieutenant Colonel X.
Yes, Your Honor. However, it's the process that you also have to look at how it was done. Defense maintains that it's the process that's an administrative process that was started as an administrative process that Colonel Delaney provided, security forces handed off to him, and even though it's sent back to him when he was reviewing whether or not he should grant him limited driving privileges, it still goes back to the fact that he was charged with revocation of driving privileges for 1 year, and that's not what this document that he signed the second time refers to. Additionally, when he signed it, it then went back down to reports analysis who called him in, had him come in and sign for it. It wasn't a situation where you know that a superior person is ordering it to you.
Wait a minute. Is for a lawful order to be given by a superior commissioned officer, does it have to be transmitted directly face-to-face by that officer? Is that an element of the offense?
No, Your Honor.
Counsel, is there, and I probably missed it, but where in the record, if anywhere, will I find information about, like, the papers? Where, did they challenge the lawfulness of this order at trial? Or did they just plead, or did he just plead not guilty?
He pled not guilty, Your Honor. The original revocation of driving privileges was never entered into evidence.
Okay, I'm talking about the other charge, the gunnery sergeant's order. Was did they make a motion challenging the lawfulness of the order at trial?
No, Your Honor, they did not.
So what standard are we reviewing this under then?
A deniable standard of review, Your Honor. In this case, the judge sent it to the members and had them decide the lawfulness of the issue. The Air Force Court, relying on previous decisions from this court, decided that United States v. Dasher said that that's inappropriate, but they said, however, we still find that it was a lawful order. We're still reviewing the lawfulness of the order under a de novo standard of review. If there are no further questions on either issue, for the foregoing reasons, Head Sergeant Rainey requests that this court set aside the findings and the sentence.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government.
May it please the court. I am Captain Naomi Porterfield, and I, along with Colonel Gerald R. Bruce, represent the United States in this matter. Appellant stands twice convicted of failing to comply with one of the most fundamental principles of military service, that is his failure to obey orders. Now, here on appeal, he contests, in one instance, the legal sufficiency of an order, and then in the second instance, the lawfulness of an order. Now, turning to the first issue of the order from Lieutenant Colonel Delaney, the order to win his driving privileges. Appellant seems to focus almost exclusively on the original order issued on issued in September of 2004, rather than the supplemental order, the response to his appeal, limiting his driving privileges 9 days before he violated the order. And in that order, the appellant contests here on appeal that the evidence was legally insufficient for two reasons. One, it was not personally issued, and two, appellant didn't know it came from Colonel Delaney. That's the granted issue in this case. And the evidence, particularly viewing the facts in a light most favorable to the government, certainly establishes that both of those allegations by appellant are simply not true.
Well, how do you answer the appellant's contention that whatever whitewash the rejection of the appeal may cast on the original order was invalid under Byers?
Well, just as the Air Force Court stated, Your Honor, had the original order, the one that was handed out by security forces, been the only order, then yes, Byers would require reversal. Mm-hmm. But that's not the facts in this case. Those are not the facts of this case.
Well, you characterize the Lieutenant Colonel's action as a supplemental order. But isn't it, in fact, simply a rejection of an appeal?
It is a rejection of an appeal, Your Honor, and the United States' position is that, taken together, it was unmistakable to appellant that he had an order from a Superior Commissioned officer not to drive. But even looking at the 13 April order from Lieutenant Colonel Delaney, he said, your driving privileges are hereby limited. He crossed out all possible exceptions. He said, this is a memorandum for Technical Sergeant Rainey. He included the Social Security number. He even handwrote notes.
Well, no, I'm conceding that he did this personally and that there's no requirement as an element of the offense that he personally communicate this to the accused. That's not my question. My question is this an order or is it something else that's basically varnish on an original order that the CCA said in and of itself was inadequate?
Your Honor, we believe that this was an order. This was an order. It was administratively in response to appellant's appeal, but even looking at the four corners of the documents, it was an order to appellant not to drive. The document itself actually says It says specifically, your driving privileges on Okinawa and all Air Force-related properties are hereby limited.
Well, wasn't it a denial of the request to modify the restrictions of what everybody here agrees was an unlawful order? I mean, what I can't understand is, what is the effect of this on the original order? Does it somehow go back and reinstate that and make that now a lawful order? Or from the point of the rejection, does that then become a new order? I mean, I'm not exactly sure how all this works.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, just to clarify, the United States does not believe that the original order was unlawful. At worst case scenario, it would be chargeable under Article 92 as opposed to Article 90.
Right, okay.
But setting that aside, Your Honor.
Before we leave that, just so we're clear, we have then a lesser included offense that could be affirmed by this court.
If
the court otherwise accepted the defense position. I'm not asking you to concede the defense position, but if that's the position we were in.
Certainly, Your Honor, should the court find that Article 92 is a lesser included offense. But getting back to your question, Your Honor, the second, administratively, taking appellant's contention that this is an administrative process, it is an administrative process, and valid orders can be issued as part of an administrative process. This was a response to an appeal. Yes, procedurally, that's what it was. We do not feel, however, that it takes it out of the realm of Article 90 as a personal order, simply because it was part of an administrative process. Rather, this was a lieutenant colonel, a superior commissioned officer to the appellant, telling him, ordering him not to do certain things. And those are the elements of Article 90.
Does charge one indicate which specific date or time of the lawful command it makes reference to having received a lawful command?
It does
what
not,
is referenced in the charge itself?
It does not specify the specific order. It does, however, state that the driving privileges were limited to a year.
And which document had that?
Yes, Your Honor, that language is taken from the September 04 order.
And the September 04 order, it appears that all parties would agree, we'll let the defense address this, that it's the basis for an Article 92 violation, that is, that it's a valid order. And then the question here, is it a valid order from a given directly by a senior officer? Now, was the September 04 order a valid order given by a senior officer?
Under Article 90, it was not within the purview of Article 90.
Okay, it was not within the purview of Article 90.
If that were the only facet.
Right, I understand that. And so let's take a look at the second charge at issue in this case just by analogy. If Fontana gave the order to Rainey to cease the unprofessional relationship, and Rainey had gone to the colonel and asked the colonel to direct Fontana to rescind that order, and the colonel said, "No, I'm not going to grant your appeal to me to rescind that earlier order." Does the order now become an order of the colonel?
To the extent appellant was made aware of the superior commissioned officer's involvement, yes, Your Honor, it would fall within the purview.
So any time that a subordinate, yes, a superior officer, to rescind or modify an order that the subordinate is subject to, that now transforms the order into an Article 90 order by a superior officer?
No, Your Honor, not any time.
Okay.
Only when the elements of Article 90 are met. That is, it's personal from the superior commissioned officer and the appellant knows it's personal. And those are the facts of this particular case with regard to Charge 1. The appellant knew that this order came from Lieutenant Colonel Delaney, and it was personally issued, as Colonel Delaney testified to some extent in the record, that it was personal, that he personally reviewed it, he personally looked at the package, and then you have the things on the face of the document that indicate its personal nature.
So in the government's view, do we have to, in order to sustain the government's position, do we have to determine that the second document here is a new order?
No, Your Honor. You can't. The government feels, the United States feels, that if you take these documents together, again, looking at all of the facts in a light most favorable to the prosecution, because this is a legal sufficiency question, taking those documents together, this court can reach the same result as the Air Force Court, and that is the facts were sufficient to meet the elements of the offense as presented at appellant's court-martial. If there are no further questions on issue one, turning to the second issue, Gunnery Sergeant was in the best position to look at the needs of his unit. And in this particular case, appellant contends that he was trying to achieve some private end. And there is simply no evidence that appellant has offered that was the case. In fact, looking at the face of the document itself, the Joint Appendix at 77, Prosecution Exhibit 5, says it was for the purpose of little burn discipline. And when you look at the record and Gunnery Sergeant's testimony on the record, you can see that he would even expound upon that statement about good order and discipline, the specific need for his Marines to meet certain restrictions, and the fact that appellant, three grades higher than this Lance Corporal, had a duty to enforce those restrictions. And as it turned out, he ended up being right in that regard because of the accident that occurred on 22 April. But even absent that evidence, the order was lawful because of his purpose. And while a supervisory chain might have added to it, while there could have been facts that made it more necessary.
Well, what does the battalion commander's avuncular, and I realize she's a female, advice? How's that cut? I mean, you know, here, Gunnery Sergeant saying, stay away from this drunken sot of an Air Force boob. And the battalion commander saying, well, I'm not going to give you permission to marry, but you really need to know each other better, so move in with the guy. How's that cut? What effect does that have? If you're a Lance Corporal, you're an E3, what do you do? Gunnery Sergeant says stay away from him. Colonel says move in with him. What do you got?
Well, Your Honor,
I realize this isn't a court-martial of the Lance Corporal for disobeying an order, but, you know, what position does that put both of them in?
Well, Your Honor, I would say that it has no bearing on the lawfulness between the order of, from the order of the Gunnery Sergeant to the appellant in this case. But even still, if...
What if the appellant had gone to...
If the appellant...
The commander and said, you know, what do I do? And the commander said, well, I think you two need to know each other better and move in.
Those are not the facts of this case.
I know, but I'm saying, what if these were the facts of the case?
Had appellant gone to the battalion commander and had this conversation, then appellant would, as required by the face of the order, go back to the gunnery sergeant and seek clarification about the order. The order was not revoked by the battalion
This is the military, first. Is it not? This isn't like the IRS or Sears Roebuck, you know, shipping department or something, right?
This is the military.
So if the colonel doesn't like what the gunny did, the colonel can say, I'm giving you a new order, right?
Absolutely.
Right, so it's not quite clear why this is so complicated.
I don't understand either, Your Honor. I believe that, quite simply, the gunnery sergeant issued an order to appellant. It was a lawful order. Its purpose was to maintain...
Is there any reason why the battalion commander couldn't have countermanded the order and told the gunny to do something else or rescind the order?
Certainly, Your Honor. Certainly. But there's no evidence...
Was the gunny in the chain of command of the battalion commander?
Yes, Your Honor, to the best of my knowledge. What does that mean?
Are you guessing, or do you know that from the record?
Well, from the record, it appears that it's not made very clear in the record because it says in the record that this battalion commander, she was in the chain of command of the Lance Corporal, and the Lance Corporal was in a different section than appellant, but he was the chief of the
division.
Were they
both in the battalion?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is the government taking the position that any time a non-commissioned officer or an officer orders an E6, not to date an E3, and simply refers to good order and discipline, that that's a valid order? Or is the government taking the position that under the particular facts of this case, there are circumstances that demonstrate the relationship to good order and discipline?
Well, the latter, as a short answer, Your Honor, under the facts of this case, absent, the United States position is that absent evidence to rebut the presumption that the order purpose for good order and discipline, then that order would be lawful, absent some evidence that would rebut that presumption.
So the burden is then on the defense at trial. For example, if all you have is an order to an E6, not to date an E3, then what that then puts in play is that the burden, in the government's view, is then on the defense to raise circumstances to show that that particular order is not related to good order and discipline, but is merely an arbitrary statement or he has no valid purpose.
Yes, Your Honor, an order is presumed lawful, so an appellant, an accused, rather, would have to rebut that presumption even at trial.
Was there any evidence that, in fact, this relationship had any adverse effect on the unit, morale, efficiency, or anything like that?
At the time of the order or at any
time? At any time.
Yes, Your Honor. The night of the incident, of the incident on 22-8.
Well, no, that's evidence they had a car accident. I'm not asking that. I'm asking whether the existence of this relationship had an adverse effect on good order and discipline. Is there anything in the record that shows that?
Well, Your Honor, the United States would argue that by virtue of having that accident, not just having the accident, but by virtue of this E3 having spent the night with the E6 and been late to PT, yes. And when you're talking about the language of Article 90 and 91 about safeguarding and promoting the welfare and good order and discipline within the unit, there is at least circumstantial evidence.
Okay, because she spent the night with him off base, and therefore he had to drive her back so she wouldn't miss the formation. That's an adverse effect on GO&D.
Well, that's what the gunner sergeant was worried about how is this going to look to my other E3s, that this E3 can go off with the E6 NCO and can do whatever she wants. She can violate the restrictions I've set forth for all of them. How does that impact these other E3s?
Wait a minute. The restrictions I set forth, was it his personal idea? Was this general policy his personal idea, or was it a general policy applicable in the Marine Corps to junior enlisted?
As far as Gunnery Sergeant Fontana's order?
No. As far as the policy that junior Marines were subject to certain restrictions that junior airmen of similar grade were not subject.
That's something within the Marine Corps, at least within AFN. I can't speak to
it. What I'm getting at is that wasn't his order.
No, Your Honor.
Right. Thank you.
No, Your Honor.
Counsel, rather than do we have to agree or disagree with the lower court's determination that there was a rational nexus between the stated military purpose and good order and discipline?
Yes, Your Honor.
Or do we have to do what it seems like you're asking us to do, which is buy into whether this was a good idea, bad idea, efficacious or not?
No, Your Honor, and pardon me if I misspoke, because the United States position is that there was a military nexus, and that's all that this court needs to find, to uphold the lower court's order.
There's a military nexus and no evidence that this was done for out of personal motivation or for a personal reason.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that those are the two things we need to satisfy ourselves with?
Yes, Your Honor, I'm charged to. Yes, Your Honor. If there are no further questions on either issue, the United States believes that both of these orders were valid and the evidence was sufficient, legally sufficient, to sustain appellant's conviction under charge one. And we ask that you would uphold the decision, affirm the decision of the
AFN. You said both of these orders, which implies two. Which was the order in the first charge?
The order.
Is it a question of lawful command or order?
I apologize, Your Honor. I'm sorry, I didn't.
I'm probably conflating the two. It's the order not to drive, and that was communicated in what form?
It was communicated in total. It was communicated throughout the procedure. But the issuance of the original order from security forces, followed by the response to appellant's request for limited driving privileges.
And you view that as one order? That is the command.
The command itself came in the form of...
The only reason I said that is because you said there were two orders in this case. Trying to figure out whether there's three, two, or whatever.
Yes, Your Honor, I apologize. The orders I was referring to were the orders in charge one and two, when I said both orders. But the order, in essence, was the order charged in charge one.
Thank you.
And that form of communicating an order would be sufficient to warrant the death penalty in time of war? I'm not suggesting for this particular offense, but in terms of the manner in which an order is communicated. That's the government's position, that this form, this method of communicating an order is so direct from a superior that it would fall within the category of capital offense in time of war?
Your Honor, I would have to defer on responding to that particular question.
Because that's what Article 90 is all about at
yes,
bottom.
Yes, Your Honor, and certainly, if the form and transmission, Article 90 says on its face that form and transmission are immaterial. But this was personal enough, yes, Your Honor, if it was through this administrative procedure and he was required to follow this order in a time of war under the circumstances that would warrant capital offense.
Orders are reviewed in factual context, aren't they?
Certainly.
Would we expect General Eisenhower to issue the D-Day landing order in a form of in this kind of form, for example?
No, Your Honor.
Does the government have a position as to whether the better legal position is to argue to affirm the Article 90, or whether the better legal course would be to affirm the lesser included offense?
Well, the United States position certainly, and I do see that my time has expired.
You can answer the question thing.
The United States position is that the order, I apologize, that the order was under Article 90 and it's valid and legally sufficient under Article 90, and that the better legal position would be to affirm the order as it was charged under Article 90.
Now, when you say the order, you're referring to which piece or pieces of paper?
Taken all together, even in the light most favorable to the prosecution, but again, even looking at the order itself,
But again, when you say the order, which piece or pieces of paper are you referring to?
The document that was signed by Lieutenant Colonel Delaney on 13 April of 2005. If there are no further questions.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Does the defense have rebuttal?
Addressing first the issue on the legal insufficiency, the second document that was provided to Tech Sergeant Rainey does not make the first revocation personal order from Lieutenant Colonel Delaney. That's the defense's position.
But he was charged with receiving a lawful command.
Yes, Your Honor.
So is it your view that the second document does not convey a lawful command?
The second order does not make the first one a lawful command. The second one...
But that wasn't my question. Does the second document convey a lawful command?
No, Your Honor.
It doesn't. So what is he acknowledging received an understanding of the above?
Actually, I might have slightly misspoke. It may say a command, but does not say the command which he was charged with, which is no driving for 1 year. That is what he was charged with. The second document does not order that.
How do you deal with the language then in the second document, in the typewritten portion, where it says, on 4 September 2004, you were found to be operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol in accordance with whatever the instruction is. Your driving privileges on Okinawa and all Air Force-related properties are hereby limited. I mean, that seems like a pretty clear pronouncement to me.
Yes, it is saying your driving privileges are limited, Your Honor. However, it was charged under Article 90 as being a personal violation of personal order from Lieutenant Colonel Delaney not to drive for 1 year.
Well, In the memorandum where he signs, it says, I acknowledge receipt and understanding of the above specified limited driving privileges, and I understand should I be driving for any other reason than specified, and all the reasons are lined out except for GOV. You don't think that's telling him anything? Directing him about anything?
Not on a personal level, not being a personal order to him.
Because
this goes back to the defense's position that this was just an administrative process, going back to the very first documentation.
So you're not arguing that the order, that the original thing, whatever it was, isn't lawful. You're arguing that it doesn't ground under 90.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, because you said a moment ago unlawful, but that's not what you're arguing.
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
And in your view, just to be clear, the fact that that the lieutenant colonel reviewed documents and personally considered this and personally told him you may only drive for GOV purposes, that doesn't make it personal?
Yes, Your Honor, it does not make the first order not to drive for 1 year.
I'm not talking about the first order. I'm talking about the document in front of me, the one that he signed, I guess, in April.
Your Honor, we do not think that this makes this a personal order because it goes back to the issue that, well, I guess two things. We don't think that this was helped support a charge in Article 90 for a violation of driving, also because how this was provided to him is just a simple administrative process, a routine administrative sanction, how it was.
Okay, I understand.
Process.
Counsel, is that I understood you earlier, you made a different argument, and that was not a contradictory one, but that the order, the last document, was not the order under which he was charged, even if that was otherwise could have been a valid Article 90 order. That's not the order he was charged under. Is that a separate argument? And you can take the time to answer that question. Or is that related argument? Is that a separate or related argument?
Your Honor, I think those are two separate arguments, but they both go to the same purpose, that this is evidence was legally insufficient to support a finding of guilt in Article 90.
You may briefly conclude.
Based on the evidence, especially regarding the issue of the legal sufficiency, the unlawful order, the order was directed only at Tech Sergeant Rainey to stop contact with his girlfriend, Tech Sergeant Lance Corporal McKnight, and denies arresting with any other E3s or providing that any other Tech Sergeants couldn't stay away from any E3s. Additionally, the evidence is legally insufficient to prove the finding under Article 90, and for that reason, the charges should be set aside. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is now submitted. We thank counsel of both parties for your presentation today, and the court will be in recess.
All rise.